Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson, where we're going to carve an Amen style riser for proper old school rave pressure. Now, this is not your standard glossy EDM uplifter. We're building something gritty, tense, and a little bit nasty, the kind of transition that feels like it belongs in drum and bass, jungle, or rolling bass music. The goal is to take the character of the Amen break and turn it into a rising motion that pulls the listener straight toward the draw. What makes this work is the combination of rhythm, tone, space, and movement. So we're going to slice the break, stretch and pitch it, sweep it with filtering and some resonance, smear it with delay and reverb, then shape the whole thing so it lands hard without wrecking the mix. First thing, pick a strong Amen source. Ideally, you want a sample with good transient detail and a bit of room tone. Something that still has life in it. Drag it into Ableton and warp it to tempo, but don't over-tighten it. If you squash all the swing out of it, you lose some of that jungle feel. For this kind of riser, something around 170 to 174 BPM is a great modern DNB range, though a slightly slower jungle-leaning tempo can work too. Trim the source down to a 1-bar or 2-bar phrase. Keep enough tail so the last snare or cymbal can breathe. And if the source sounds too clean, that's actually useful, because we can always dirty it up later with processing. Now slice it. In Live 12, you've got a couple of strong options here. You can put the break into simpler and use slice mode, which is great if you want to perform a riser from MIDI and play the slices like an instrument. Or you can right-click the audio clip and choose slice to new MIDI track, which gives you a drum rack full of slices. For this kind of advanced transition work, drum rack is often the more flexible choice because it lets you build a more modular, programmable phrase. At this point, don't just think, how do I loop the break? Think, how do I build pressure? That's the key mindset shift. We want the phrase to evolve over time. Start with recognizable Amen hits, then increase density, then finish with a cluster of fast fragments or a sustained texture that feels like it's about to explode. Program a 2-bar MIDI phrase. In the first bar, keep it relatively sparse. Leave space. Use a few kick and snare fragments, maybe a cymbal hit or two. In the second bar, tighten things up. Add more movement. Shorten the gaps. Use ghost hits, extra break slices, maybe a little snare roll energy near the end. The final half bar should feel like it's rushing forward, almost tripping over itself in a good way. A little swing goes a long way here. If everything is perfectly on the grid, it can sound too polished and modern. We want a bit of that MPC-style looseness, that classic break tension. So use groove pull swing if needed, or manually nudge a few hits so the phrase feels alive. Now we shape the rise in pitch. This is where the riser really starts to lift. If you're working from audio, automate the clip's transpose or pitch over the 2 bars. If you're in simpler, automate the pitch there. A subtle start is usually better than an aggressive one. You can begin at 0 and rise somewhere around plus 5 to plus 12 semitones by the end, depending on how dramatic you want it. One nice trick is not to pitch everything equally. Let the snare slices rise more obviously, keep some of the kick fragments lower, and let the cymbal or top-end bit sparkle upward. That way the listener still recognizes the break, but the energy keeps climbing. This also gives the riser a more musical contour instead of just sounding like a sample being shoved upward. Next comes filtering, and this is one of the most important parts of the whole move. Put auto filter after your slice instrument. Set it to low pass, use a fairly steep slope, and bring in some resonance. Start the cutoff low, somewhere in the few hundred hertz range, then sweep it up toward the top end over the course of the riser. The feeling you want is that the sound is opening up, tearing through fog, getting brighter and more exposed as the drop approaches. And here's a pro move. Don't automate the filter in a straight line if you can help it. Curve it. Keep it slow and murky at the start, then make it climb more aggressively in the last half bar or so. That gives the listener a real sense of anticipation. It's not just rising, it's accelerating. Now we add grit. Saturation is your friend here. Put a saturator in the chain and give it a few dB of drive. Keep soft clip on if it helps. You want thickness and edge, but you don't want to flatten the transients completely. This is about keeping the break alive while making it rougher and more present. If you want a more unstable, metallic feel, add frequency shift or two. Even a small amount can make the riser feel weird in a very good way. It adds that alien, detuned tension that works brilliantly in darker rave material. Automate the amount gradually so it becomes more unnerving as the rise continues. Drum bus can also help if you want extra density and attitude, but be careful with boom in a DNB context. We're not trying to create a bass swell that fights the sub. We're trying to create pressure in the upper and mid frequencies, while keeping the low end under control. Now let's bring in reverb and reverse motion. This is where the riser starts to feel cinematic. Hybrid reverb is fantastic for this. Use a big space, keep the low end filtered out, and let the wetness increase toward the end. You can also render the riser, reverse a copy, and place that reverse tail so it leads into the last hit. That sucking in feeling before the drop is pure rave tension. It's a classic move, and it still works because it creates a physical sense of pull. Echo is another great tool here. A little bit of delay smear can turn a simple sliced phrase into something way more urgent. Set a modest feedback amount, choose a rhythmic time value like an eighth or sixteenth, and roll off the low end so it doesn't get muddy. Then automate the wet level up near the end, especially on a snare slice or cymbal fragment. As the main break phrase gets more sparse, the echoes can fill the space and keep the listener locked in. Now, very important, control the low end. A riser with too much low frequency content will step on the drop and weaken the impact. Put EQ8 in the chain and high pass aggressively, if you need to, usually somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the source. If the break is chunky, don't be afraid to cut harder than you think. The riser needs tension, not sub pressure. You want the drop to hit like a brick, not arrive into a crowded room. At the end of the riser, it often helps to add a pre-drop impact. This could be a rave stab, a noise burst, a reversed cymbal, or even a small impact built from the amen itself. The point is to give the ear a clear cue that the transition is complete. A short hit right at the end, followed by the drop, can make the whole arrangement feel much more intentional. When you place the riser in the track, think like an arranger, not just a sound designer. Maybe it starts subtly 8 bars before the drop, then becomes obvious in the last 4, then gets more aggressive in the final 2. Or maybe it's a shorter 2-bar bridge into a switch-up. The important thing is that it supports the narrative of the tune. A good riser doesn't just go up, it tells the listener something is about to change. One old-school trick that always works is to let the riser stop a touch early. That tiny moment of space before the drop can make the impact feel much bigger. Silence, or near silence, is powerful. If everything is too busy right up to the last moment, the drop loses some of its punch. Once the chain feels right, commit it to audio. This is a big one. Advanced transition work often gets better when you print it early and edit it like audio. After resampling, you can trim the tail, make tiny timing moves, add micro stutters, reverse short sections, and generally make it feel more human and more designed. Sometimes the final magic is not in another plugin, but in a tiny edit on the waveform. Here are a few things to keep in mind while you work. Think in layers of attention, not just layers of sound. First, the rhythm grabs you, then the tone, then the space, then the final drop cue. Also, try to keep one thing stable while everything else evolves. If every parameter is changing at once, the ear loses its anchor. Often the break's basic transient pattern or its core identity should stay recognizable while the pitch, filter, and spatial effects do the heavy lifting. And check the riser quietly. If it still feels tense at low volume, that's a good sign. If it only sounds exciting when it's loud and wide, the shape may be too dependent on sheer brightness instead of proper movement and contrast. A few advanced variations are worth trying too. You can build a two-stage riser where the first half is all amen fragments and swing, then the second half turns into filtered noise, delay residue, and shifted ambience. Or make a call and response version, where one bar is break motion and the next is tonal texture. You can even create a half-time illusion by reducing hit density and letting the snare placements breathe, which makes the eventual drop feel faster by contrast. Another strong move is a micro-stutter ending. In the last beat, chop a single slice into quick 16th or 30-second repeats, then cut to silence right before the drop. That tiny fracture can be more effective than a huge impact. And if you want a wider, more unstable top layer, duplicate the riser and detune one copy slightly up, one slightly down, and pan them subtly apart. So to recap, the formula is simple, but the execution is where the vibe lies. Start with a strong amen source. Slice it into playable fragments. Build density over time. Automate pitch and filter movement. Add saturation, delay, reverb, and maybe frequency shifting for attitude. Clean up the low end. Then commit, edit, and arrange it so it frames the drop with real pressure. That's how you make an amen-style riser in Ableton Live 12 that feels like it belongs in old-school rave culture, jungle heritage, and modern drum and bass energy all at once. Not just a riser, but a proper pressure device. If you want, I can also turn this into a bar-by-bar arrangement guide or a detailed Ableton device chain next.